I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today, our topic is homeschooling. While exact numbers of homeschooled students are difficult to come by, what is clear is that number is growing. What are some of the reasons families choose to homeschool, and what are their legal rights and obligations, and what role can and should the school system play? A representative from the Massachusetts Home Learning Association joins us in a few minutes to discuss these and other questions. But first, the story of how one Cape family came to the decision to homeschool. Steve Junker and Jenny Junker are familiar names to WCAI listeners. Steve is our All Things Considered host, and Jenny answers the phones during The Point and provides production assistance. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
And when they're not here at the station, Steve and Jenny are homeschooling their children, Ursula, age 12, and Moss, age 7. Ursula, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So we asked them to come in and share their story. Ursula, you were interested in homeschooling long before your parents. What were some of the reasons that you wanted to try homeschooling?
I guess I thought that I could learn more and do more if I wasn't in school all day. I like to be outside, too, and I like to learn things outside, and you don't really get to do that at the public schools. And I felt like they were repeating the same things over and over again, and I wanted to move on and learn about a greater variety of things.
So before you started homeschooling, how did you imagine it would work? How did you envision that you would spend your homeschool day?
I don't know.
You didn't really think about that?
I had a lot of ideas. I think I kind of imagined it the way it turned out. Like, I just pictured I would be learning about things that interested me, and I don't know. It was pretty much the way I pictured it, actually.
All right, Steve and Jenny, were you reluctant at first? Jenny, I'll start with you. When Ursula said, "Hey, Mom, I think I'd like to try homeschooling," what was your initial reaction?
Oh, I was scared. I was afraid that it would just be, it would be ruinous, and that it would be chaotic and bad. And
I showed you my notes.
That's right.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? What was your thought?
I had a lot of the same fears, that it would overtake our family life in a way that maybe I wasn't ready to have happen, and that it would be a challenge to figure out what kind of structure to impose in the day and how to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I was really ready or wanted to do that. So. Yeah. We had a lot of hesitation about it.
Yeah. So, Ursula, you kind of figured they probably would have a little hesitation, right? So you said you put notes. You put together, a little presentation?
I kind of read. This is kind of my method when I want something to happen. It's like I learn all about it, and then I come up with a really convincing argument, and if it doesn't work, I just go back and learn even more and come up with another argument. But this was definitely the biggest thing I ever tried to make happen. I made a lot of notes and read some books about it, and some of them I really liked, some of them I didn't really like. And I think my parents were never really actively opposed to it. They just weren't sure how it would work.
Yeah. So what was the convincing factor for you?
Well, we did get a stack of homeschool books we ordered through the library from all different libraries, and kind of set them on the table and said, if you can read through these and tell us what this is about, that would help. Mm. And so she took that on, and she made a long, she started a notebook, I think, or she
had, still have it.
Yeah, and really came up with some information about homeschooling that I didn't know for sure. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the things you telling me very early on was that you don't have to think of homeschooling as school at home, that this is a whole different approach to education. And once we started to internalize what that could mean in some ways, that sort of that gave us a window to imagine how this could work for our family, I feel like, that I didn't have to think of myself as the teacher at home and Ursula doing schoolwork at home, but that it's an education and a different approach to education.
Yeah. Now, Ursula mentioned that this has turned out just as she imagined. What about?
I did not say
that. You said this is, when I said, what did you imagine your day would be like? You said just like what it is, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. Every day I usually have a few different things that I'm kind of working on, you know, like longer term projects. And I also have a few things that I do every day, like math or like I read every day. I like to read. And like I play cello. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how I thought it would be.
How you thought it'd be. Is it turned out what you imagined it would be, Jenny?
Oh, I think for me it was much more eye-opening than I imagined it would be. Because the question of what is really interesting to study or what's worth learning was to me a very big opening thing to explore that with Ursula, and now with Moss too. It was really exciting, and it's ended up being way more fun and much easier and more satisfying than I expected.
You share that, Steve, that thought?
It has its challenges, I would say. Both Jenny and I are people who work from home a fair amount, so it has an impact on that. But one of the things that Ursula, when she was made her list of how this could happen and was explaining to us some of the ways that homeschool works in different scenarios, one of the things she came upon was to keep a notebook, that it's good for kids to keep a notebook every day. So when we decided we're going to embark on this, we actually wrote up a contract about what our expectation was for the homeschooling experience. And she sort of filled that in too, and then we all signed it. And it also had to do with what we sent to the school district to let them know that we were homeschooling. And so she had to kind of sign on to that, and we signed on to it. And keeping your daily notebook was, I think, a great way for us to, when you say, well, what happened this week? You can flip back, and it has a lot of great illustrations.
Yeah, it was an illustrated notebook. I made little cartoons of what happened.
Mm. So, Ursula, is there anything you miss about the public school experience?
Well, I did like being around other kids my age, because now when I see other people, like, sometimes I might work with some other homeschoolers, but they're, like, younger than me. Mm-hmm. But it turns out I thought I'd miss that more than I actually did, because when you're at school, you're not really interacting with the other kids that much. You're kind of all in your own little bubble doing your quiet work. So that was, a lot of people said, like when I said, I'm thinking of homeschooling, they're like, but you won't be interacting with people. You won't have a social life. But I think that's not the case. I think I have more of an interesting, like, I get to see people not just in my age group, for one thing. I'm more involved in the community. And also, I'm actually interacting with the people I see. I'm not just in proximity to them while we do our own separate work.
What about the social aspect of that? How do you deal with that?
Well, one thing that was good was that the school, the public school, was very encouraging when we spoke to them about embarking on this. And they said, oh, well, Ursula was involved in the enrichment program already at the public school here in Falmouth. And they said she can continue to come, you know, twice a week to be part of the enrichment program, which we've kept up. And that, I think, is helpful for the social interaction, for mm-hmm. being in a classroom environment with their peers.
And it gives us a continued connection to all the great people at the school who
yeah.
we love.
Yeah. yeah.
So the reaction to the school when you said, we're thinking about homeschooling, Jenny, what was the reaction?
From the
school?
The teachers were amazingly supportive. It was very moving. They both, Ursula's teachers were urged us to, said, if you can do it, do it.
I was surprised by that. Yeah.
I think that is surprising.
It was when we went in to have a conversation with the teachers. She had two teachers that in her classroom situation, and I had a little trepidation about saying, "Look, we're thinking about doing this," because it was mid-year, and both of them were very supportive. Both of them said, "This is a kid who probably could benefit a lot from this experience if you're willing to take it on."
And how about your younger one, Moss, who's 7? What's the experience? Is the experience as good for him as it is for Ursula?
I think so. I really do. I believe so. It's been really fun. And it's, you know, as most things with a second child, it's sort of like he's sort of following along in the wake of the big sister. So some of it's already been figured out. And I think it's been great.
We also have a backstop. We have the public school right mm-hmm. there. Yeah. So I think even as we embarked on the experiment of doing something we didn't know if we could do or not, there was an idea that if it doesn't work, we can always, return to the school district, because we love the school district, and it's a really strong school district here in Falmouth.
So what's the biggest challenge? I mean, how do you put together the curriculum? Because there's certain things you have to know, right?
Well, we were using the math books from the school system. Like, we actually, like, bought the workbooks, and I've been working from them so that I keep up with that.
What about Jenny or Steve? I mean, there are certain things, I mean, that the state requires, correct?
I think the only challenging aspect has been sometimes people that I care about being worried that we were doing something strange or that it wasn't going to be good.
So that was undermining to her education.
Or, yeah, people that were feeling fearful that it was somehow going to get the kids way behind or that it was just going to fall apart. So.
And I think it really that it depends on the kid so much. Mm-hmm. Right. So in this particular instance, it worked well for us. And even your experiences at school, I think that, Ursula, that drove you to come up with this idea or inspired you to come up with this idea, you're really not feeling at home in the school at that moment. And I was concerned that you were going to be losing interest in school as an educational process. And so we kind of thought, well, this is a way to carve out a little time and try to do it now. And even now you're sort of arcing back towards going to school again, which is so it's been a journey that's going to mm-hmm. take us back to school probably.
Mm. So what's the plans then to continue homeschooling, obviously, for the rest of this year? And then what's next?
Well, I think I'm going to go to Falmouth Academy because I got like a scholarship there.
Great.
It seems
and we
like
should say
really
that was a merit
cool
scholarship,
place.
Right?
A merit scholarship, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that'll be in the fall.
Yeah. And then what about Moss? Will you continue homeschooling or is that...
We're thinking about it.
We're hanging out with a maybe for now.
All right. Steve, Jenny, and Ursula Junker, thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Bill Heward, director of the Massachusetts Home Learners Association. He joins us on the phone. Welcome to the program, Bill.
How you doing, man?
So is that unusual that we just heard the Junker story and this was sort of initiated by Ursula, the student? Usually, I would think it's the other way around, the parents who kind of bring up, let's try homeschooling.
Well, I think we're seeing more and more of that, but it's somewhat unusual to have it initiated. But the rest of the story sounds pretty normal.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you might as well just let Ursula do the rest of the show. I'll just sit back and listen.
So tell us the mission of the Massachusetts Home Learners Association.
Well, we're a volunteer advocacy group. Generally, we just support and advocate for homeschooling. Steve and Jenny were saying, that trying to get information is probably one of the hardest things for people who start thinking about it. Where do you go? What do you look at? And we've been around for about 30 years. We try to keep everything on our website, try to keep up to date with everything that's going on in the Commonwealth, try to keep in touch with what's going on in other states, and also have a group that people can join online where there's a discussion group always going on so people can always ask questions and get information from other homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. There's no way, a small group of, volunteers can keep track of what's going on in all 351 different districts, and they're always changing superintendents and always changing principals, and there's always a different spin on what's happening in homeschooling. And as Steve and Jenny said, they happen to be in a very friendly school district, which is very willing to help and let you use books and even come and join some of the programs. Mm-hmm. Every district isn't like that.
I was going to say, is that unusual?
It's becoming less and less unusual. Mm-hmm. I like to say there's a lot more enlightened superintendents mm-hmm. that are trying to do what's best for the child. And as they realize that, I know we've heard it millions of times, but that one size doesn't fit all.
Right. Now, you homeschooled your children, right? Tell us your story. What were the factors that went into your decision?
Actually, it was my wife who, she had taught in some inner cities and had also taught in some suburban areas and realized that a lot of education depended on, the quality of the teachers. There's some great teachers out there, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, there are some not-so-great teachers out there. And there's a researcher up at Harvard who had did a study and found out that if you have a poor teacher, it might take you 3 years to recover.
Wow.
And that struck me.
Yeah.
It was like, wow. Do you want to take that chance?
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that went into it. I wasn't convinced when we started. I know when my wife was pregnant with my first son, she said, well, we're going to homeschool him. And came to my mind is, I'm not going to argue with a pregnant lady. I got 5 years to figure this thing out. And that's pretty much the start of it.
Yeah. So how many years and how many children did you homeschool?
We had two boys, and we homeschooled them from birth to the time they headed off to college.
And what do they say, looking back at the experience?
I think they were very different boys, and I think they both enjoyed the whole experience because I think it let them go their separate ways and both become very successful in their chosen fields. Oh. So.
We are talking about homeschooling. We'd love to hear your experience or if you have questions about homeschooling. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about homeschooling with Bill Heuer. He's director of the Massachusetts Home Learners Association. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to join the conversation, 866-999-4626. We'd love to hear about your experience or if you have questions, you're thinking about it. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Bill, data from the National Center for Educational Statistics shows a growing percentage of children in the U.S. are being homeschooled. So what are some of the reasons you think homeschooling is becoming more common?
I think people are realizing, as I had just mentioned, one size doesn't fit all, that you can do a lot of things on your own, and you can do probably what is best for your child. If I was looking through some of my old notes before I was going to talk to you, I came upon something from, oh, it goes back 10 years or so ago. There was a woman had put it together very succinctly, I think, in saying why. She was having a discussion with some of the traditional schoolers, and what they were looking at was, again, the same questions: why would somebody want to homeschool? And what she came up with was saying, well, you know, these homeschoolers have basically solved what you guys have been trying to do for the last 40 years. They're able to tailor their individual instructions to the individual child. They're able to eradicate boredom because if they get bored with something, they can go on and continue working with it or go on to something else. Mm-hmm. And you reduce the pressure on the child. They're working for their knowledge, not for grades, not for scores, but to mastery some sort of subject they're really interested in. Mm-hmm. And I think when you talked to Ursula before, she sort of expounded those same things.
Yeah. And is there any kind of required testing? I mean, do you have to show the state that your child is, you know, say, learning math or I mean, the curriculum you choose, do they have any say over what that is?
Well, in Massachusetts, Massachusetts is one of two remaining what we call approval states. And in an approval state, you have to have your education plan approved by the superintendent. And you basically submit how you're going to do your education. Mm-hmm. And then you come up with, you provide an assessment vehicle, and that vehicle could be testing, it could be a portfolio, it could be a transcript. But again, you're going to design the assessment based on the individual child and how you're doing the curriculum. Mm. And I don't think a lot of people realize that also because we're an approval state, the superintendent is also responsible for every child of compulsory attendance age between 6 and 16 here in Massachusetts, who lives in the district. So that superintendent is responsible for everyone going to a private school or a parochial school or being homeschooled. Hmm. It's just that they approve the private school's curriculum. They do the same thing for homeschoolers.
Oh. Let's talk to Stacy, who's giving us a call from West Falmouth. Good morning, Stacy.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, go ahead, Stacy.
I'm calling because I'm a homeschooler of my 6-year-old. Well, just turned 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And how's it going?
I think it's going great, and I think that it's a wonderful option for people who have that flexibility in their lives and want to keep that light of learning alive, which was my concern with putting my young daughter in a public school setting.
Mm-hmm. And Stacey, how do you...
In a school, so I never ever thought in my wildest dreams I would be homeschooling my daughter.
Yeah, I think a lot of homeschooling parents say that. So Stacey, how do you deal with the socialization and her having, you know, experiences with kids her own age?
Well, I do work with other families, and so having my daughter be educated with other kids, planning trips with other families is important to us and important to my daughter. But I also think that kind of the downtime when it's just my daughter and I, or I have a younger son as well, when we are, when we have that stillness in our lives mm-hmm. to work on more difficult concepts or to break through some levels of whether it's learning how to read or working on math concepts or science concepts, that's really important. And for my daughter, that was one of my concerns as well, is the time that she needs to just really get a concept mm-hmm. Happens a little better in that stillness rather than the joy of being around other kids. So that interaction is terribly important, but there's something also terribly important about the stillness too.
Yeah.
Just being able to work on being focused.
Yeah, that's a good point. Stacy, thanks for calling and sharing your story. We'd love to hear from you, what your experience has been with homeschooling. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Bill, although there are different ways to make homeschooling work, it often requires one parent to be home, at least part-time. And there's some evidence that homeschooling rates increase in good economic times. So what would you say to those who believe homeschooling is an option only for those who can afford it?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think people would be surprised at how many single-parent families are homeschooling. Mm-hmm. It's not a real large amount, but people do manage to do it because when you're homeschooling, it's an anytime, anywhere type of thing. You don't have to do education between 9 and 2 every day. You can do it in the evenings. You can do it on weekends. So some people will do it that way. Mm-hmm. Even parents where they're both working will manage to do that and basically have maybe another family member watch the kids during the day and supervise other activities.
Right.
When you're in high school, a lot of it becomes self-determination. A lot of high school kids can do it on their own. We have a lot of homeschool high school aged children taking dual enrollment at a lot of the community colleges in the area. Mm-hmm. That's a very big incentive these days because you can finish your high school years with an associate's degree rather than a high school diploma.
Yeah. Do the homeschooled kids get a diploma?
In Massachusetts, you can no longer do so because of MCAS. Up until MCAS in 2003, it was possible for the districts to grant homeschoolers diplomas if they met all the requirements. But after MCAS went in, since homeschoolers can't take MCAS, you can't get a diploma.
Right. So, but if you wanted to send your child to the school to take the MCAS, would they let you do that? You'd have to be teaching what was on the test, right?
No. It comes down to you're either enrolled in the public school system or you're not enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
If you're enrolled, then you have to take the MCAS. If you're not enrolled, you can't take the MCAS. Uh-huh. But as Steve had mentioned before, they were thinking of sending one of their children back into the school system or it's right down the block.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. You can enroll. You can enroll for a for a short time period. You can decide to homeschool. There are studies that show that many homeschooling parents might homeschool for a year or two, then take their kids out of send them back to school, mm-hmm. then take them out for a few years. So it's there is some trial and error going on, and it's not necessarily because homeschooling isn't working. There's a lot of other family dynamics that take place.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's pretty much what happens. But there are just so many hybrids out there now, and mm-hmm. one of them is going back to school for a year.
Yeah. There are an infinite number of ways to approach homeschooling in terms of methods and curriculum. For listeners who have no experience with homeschooling and might even think it's school at home, as Steve Drunker mentioned, would you give us some examples of the different ways families have set up home learning?
Well, One of the things we found is that it definitely is school at home for just about everybody when they start. Mm-hmm. It's like, gee, how are we going to get this? Well, the first thing to do is match it and then see how that works. But there are so many other ways, and especially when you're taking someone out of the school system and you haven't planned on homeschooling from birth or from the time you're going to head off to kindergarten. The rule of thumb is when you take somebody out of school is to take a month off for every year you've been in school. And that means just sit back, relax, and take a breather and find out how you're going to deal with everything going forward. Because it's not just the child, it's the parent as well. Mm-hmm. I think you heard some of that, Steve and Jenny. It's, you know, there's some apprehension.
Right.
And you don't want to start day one telling kids, okay, this is what you have to do. You have to stay up. You can't fall behind. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. It puts pressure on the kids, puts pressure on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sit back, relax. You're going to be able to make up that time, if there's anything even to make up. And the new process is going to work so much smoother. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that people start moving away from the books, away from the structure, away from the packaged curriculums, which are also expensive, and starting to use more things like the library, going to co-ops, going to museums, working on more multi-age groups.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was just mentioned a few seconds ago was, and I think you asked the question too about socialization with kids your mm-hmm. age. Being around kids always your same age, every year of your life during school, may not be such a good thing.
Well, I think Ursula mentioned that. She mentioned that she's getting to interact not only with kids her own age, but adults and people of all ages. And as she was saying, she's more involved in the community, which I thought was interesting as well.
Right.
I wonder what your thoughts are when we heard Ursula and Steve and Jenny talking about they came up with this contract, kind of what they expected. And Ursula had some input into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, especially for kids who are a little bit older, having a little bit of input put into what the curriculum will include would be important, right?
The closer you can get to having the student make all those decisions, I think the better off you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into high school ages, if you can get the student to make all of those decisions, it's meaning you're getting closer and closer to being that mature person you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the earlier you can start that, and I think that's great to start it at the real early ages, you know, what types of things do you want to do this year? What can we stress? Learning the style of how someone learns is just so important.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I guess if they're choosing what they want to learn, there's more incentive to actually do the work, right? Because they've set the rules.
It's only natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk to Pete, who's giving us a call from West Barnstable. Good morning, Pete.
Yeah, good morning. I've been an educator for 30 years, and I just have to be able to commenting on your show and some of the comments made by your guest.
Sure, go ahead.
I started out as a college educator in a tenure track position, and I turned into an administrator of a community college, moved up here to the Cape back in 99, and have worked in both a middle school system and now a high school system. And there's a couple points that are key. I've taught a large gamut of kids. One, your guest mentioned something about the superintendent being responsible for all the kids. I can assure you that the superintendent is not looking at each and every kid. That is just an administrative nightmare. Mm-hmm. I speak again as an administrator experience from a community college. With respect to homeschooling, perhaps when the kids are young, it's a good idea. Cater at the middle school. I regularly got kids that were homeschooled up until sixth grade, parents sending them to middle school. While there are some exceptions, by and large, I found that most of the kids that were showing up in my math and science class had very weak math and skills. By and large, those are not educational strong points of parents.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm teaching at a high school level, and again, we receive kids that have been homeschooled up through till ninth grade. And again, the generality is that the courses that kids don't want to take or the courses that parents don't have a lot of experience in, the courses that tend to be more hard work or less fun, the kids are showing up unprepared, and I'm very worried. Again, I'm speaking now as a university professor. When I was getting kids that were sorely prepared for STEM quality stuff. Again, I acknowledge there are exceptions. Highly motivated kids and highly motivated parents. But by and large, I saw a lot of parents and kids that wanted to not teach about evolution, not teach within the curriculum of our public school systems. And by and large, I think it's a disservice to our society.
Right. Pete, thanks for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate that. And just so you know, Pete, you might want to tune in on Thursday when we talk about getting the most out of a public education. It's going to be our topic on Thursday. So hopefully you'll be able to check that.
D.C.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to be down in D.C.
Okay. Well, you can catch it online. Pete, thanks for your thoughts. Bill, you want to respond to some of the stuff he was talking about?
Well, I think there's obviously going to be two sides. I believe there's 50 million kids in the country being educated, and depending on which statistic you use, somewhere between 2 and 4% of them are homeschooled. Mm-hmm. So obviously, 96 and 98% people are doing something other than that, and have. Going to have different opinions.
Let me ask,
lot of it's anecdotal, however. Right.
Yeah. Let me ask you something Pete said, because I thought this rung in my head, is something that parents don't feel the expertise. Like, let's just say math. I'm not great math. I can't even imagine trying to teach algebra or something like that. But are there ways that you can help parents present a curriculum or information that they may not have some expertise in that can help their children learn this?
Well, there are obviously different ways to teach math. There are different types of curriculum that you can use to teach math. And I believe that children learn math and learn to like math in very different ways, depending if you're what type of learner you are and what your style is. I know personally what we did here is my younger son, who is more artistically inclined, would do geometry before he would do algebra. It was just the way he would think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that if you go to a public school, it doesn't matter. Everyone's going to get algebra, then geometry, and then trigonometry.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching to the style of a child doesn't really happen that much in the public schools, and we see our math scores in public schools. So, yeah, I'd be interested in what you're talking about on Thursday as well.
Mm-hmm. In our conversation with the Junkers, they mentioned that teachers invited Ursula to participate in activities at the school. And I think you said you're sort of enrolled or not enrolled. So I'm imagining that this probably is different for each school district. But do homeschooled children have the right to participate in extracurricular activities or, sports or things like that?
No, it's totally up to the district, up to the superintendent. And I just like, before I forget it, I wanted to say, Pete mentioned something about the responsibility. What I meant by responsibility is it's the legal responsibility of the superintendent. Whether they do it or not is, depends on the individual superintendent.
866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Your experience with homeschooling, or if you have questions about it, you're thinking about it. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about homeschooling with Bill Huer. He's director of the Massachusetts Home Learners Association. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Bill, do parents or guardians have to meet any certain qualifications to homeschool their children? Can anybody do this?
Just about anybody can do this. Yes, there is no... Every state is different, but there's no state that requires that the parent be a college graduate. In fact, I believe there's very few states that require that the parents be high school graduates, but most of them are.
So how is homeschool coursework and competency presented when applying to college or other institutions?
Well, there's most colleges require either the ACT or the SAT exams. Mm-hmm. Homeschoolers can provide, you know, their portfolios. Each homeschooler will. Most colleges these days are looking for somebody with a varied background in a lot of different things, a lot of different interests. They're looking for diverse students. I think homeschoolers meet that requirement. Mm-hmm. I believe there's probably almost 1,000 colleges out there now that don't even require SATs or ACTs because they're looking to look at the student and what they've done and how they've what type of interest they have in continuing their study. Mm. So there are studies out there that show that homeschoolers do very well in colleges.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Adriana, who's calling from Sudbury. Good morning, Adriana.
Good morning.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, so my family, we have 4 children that we homeschool. Mm-hmm. Our oldest is 8-year-old. And we early on decided to homeschool, and we both work. We have some amount of time to work from home. And the experience at the beginning is scary. You mm-hmm. don't really know how to start. But over time, you really realize that you can follow the kids' interests. People always ask about socialization, and that has never been trouble. They have friends in homeschool co-ops. They have friends in after-school activities. And so far, we are planning to continue to homeschool until the end, if that works for us.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned something that probably every homeschooling parent says. In the beginning, it's scary, right?
Yes.
Adriana, thanks for...
Yes, it is. You think that you need to follow a curriculum, you think you need to follow a school structure, and that's not really the case. Kids almost learn by their own if you mm-hmm. follow their interests. We also, since we both work, we hire some help at home to help us tutor the children, to help us take care of them. We just put together mm-hmm. all the activities, and either we help them do them, or we have some help at home.
Yeah, I think so that's a good point.
All the time.
Adriana, you bring up a good point. Bill, what are your thoughts on that? Adriana says she hires someone like tutors to help with the kids. Do a lot of parents do that?
Sure, there's plenty. Now that it's proliferating, there are plenty of regional co-ops across the state. There are learning centers that have been established. All sorts of co-op groups. People will get together and, they'll have, small families will get together and the parent who knows the most math will teach the math, et cetera. Mm. There's an awful lot of that going on.
Yeah. Adriana, thanks for the phone call. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to share your homeschooling experience. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Often homeschooling families hear, I could never do what you do. I don't have the patience. Or I could never do what you do. I couldn't stand to be around my kids all day. Not everyone is cut out to homeschool his or her children. So what are your thoughts on how to determine if you and your children would benefit from homeschooling?
Good question. I guess I feel a little sad when I hear people say, "Gee, I could never be around my kids all day." your kids are going to be around for it's very quick.
Those
12, 16 years go by very quickly. A lot of homeschoolers want to make the most of those. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, sometimes the kids don't want to be there around their parents for all mm-hmm. that time either.
Right.
But I think a lot of families tend to be able to work it out, whether it's through contract like Ursula, or doing so many diverse and different things to keep the imagination and everything going would tend to work out. Mm-hmm. But yes, homeschooling is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anyone who is saying that. Everybody should start moving to homeschooling. Homeschoolers don't go out there and, solicit people to homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Basically, groups like ours are there to help people who have an interest in it and to make that own determination for themselves whether it would work for them and their families. Mm-hmm. Because it's basically a lifestyle. It's not just an educational choice.
Yeah. All right, Alexis is giving us a call from Hyannis. Good morning, Alexis. Alexis, are you there? All right. right. We'll try back in a couple minutes. What are some of the universal challenges to homeschooling?
I think it's balancing family life, because, like I said, it is a lifestyle. It's not education. It's just a segment of your life that's done, you know, between certain hours. It's basically trying to figure out how it's all going to play out, mm-hmm. and especially if you have more than, one child, mm-hmm. two child, three children. Everything has to be. Each wants their own, time.
Right, and each learn maybe a little differently.
Right,
as you were saying, the learning style.
But that's why a lot of homeschoolers work around projects. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing a project, say on the Civil War, and you're and maybe you'll take the family on a trip through the states and through, and each child will learn at their level, but they'll be talking about that same project. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that that's happening.
Yeah, let's try Alexis. Alexis calling from Hyannis. Alexis, are you there? Hello?
Hi.
Go ahead, Alexis.
I was just calling because I'm actually a child that was homeschooled throughout her whole entire school career. And I ended up going to college, and I'm graduated, went through the whole thing. And I think it's really great that you guys are shedding some light on homeschooling, because now that I'm out of it, I appreciate it a lot more than I did when I was actually going through it. But I do think it's something that should get more attention, because it is kind of that alternative way of schooling that I think will be really kind of making headway in the future.
Yeah. Alexa, so you really enjoyed that experience then?
Yes and no. I think sometimes I felt alienated because I wasn't with my friends all of the time, but my parents had a really good system of making sure that I went to after-school programs and I was, involved in the community and things like that. So mm-hmm. I loved the fact that I could learn what I wanted to learn after, the normal math, history, science, whatever. I could really kind of delve into specifics that mm-hmm. I was really interested in. So mm-hmm. that was nice, because you don't really get that in a typical school setting.
Right. Well, thanks for calling and sharing your experience, Alexis. I'm glad it worked out for you, and good luck. Let's talk to Lisa, who's calling from Vineyard Haven. Hi, Lisa. Lisa, are you there?
Just entering this conversation. I just turned on my radio, but I just wanted to say I've homeschooled our six children. The oldest is now 27, and the youngest is 13, and it's been a wonderful experience for our family, and each child has just, whether they're in homeschool or public school or private school, each child has a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, whether you homeschool or public school, I feel that you just facilitate whatever the child's interests are. One thing about the fear to start homeschooling, I don't remember being afraid, but when our oldest was probably 4 or 5 years old, one of the women who was part of the homeschool community had a weekend away at her house. And I was so new, and I really didn't know where to begin. And these women brought catalogs of curriculum, and as I'm pouring through all of this, I have this realization, and I blurted it out, and I said, wow, I'm going to be smart. And it is so true, because as a teacher, you have to constantly be learning. So
right.
Even if you feel like, how am I going to teach calculus, or how am I going to teach, high school biology?
Yeah. That's a good point you're bringing up, Lisa, because, yeah, you have to teach your learning as well. So it's not just an education for the kids. It's an education for the parents as well. Thanks for sharing your story, Lisa. Let's talk to Nancy, who's calling from Centerville. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. We sort of did all things with our children. We moved here from Connecticut. They'd been in public school, kindergarten through second grade. We moved to the Cape. We went to the Waldorf school. They loved that. Then we ran out of money. So we homeschooled, and it was just such a joy to just have them be doing life skills mm-hmm. and things that help you relax when you think, oh, what are people going to think? Is say you just go to a thrift shop and, the the ladies there would say, oh, a day off from school? And you say, no, we're homeschooling. And right away they'd say, oh, my daughter's homeschooling or my granddaughter's being homeschooled. And you just ran into so many people that it was the same situation that really helped you relax.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically just did whatever we wanted. We did get a few programs from the Oak Meadow program in Vermont, but I just sort of let them do what they wanted for 3 years. And then it was their choice to go to Sturgis Charter School. And lo and behold, they got straight A's,
wow,
you know, as soon as they got there. So it's just an eye-opener that we're not little vessels all to be filled with the same information, and that you need textbooks and fluorescent lights and desks and rules. And frankly, nobody knew we were homeschooling. Nobody knew we were at the Waldorf school, so I figured, why do I need to register? And then, you know, they went off to Bard College and the Culinary Institute of America, and they're doing fine in New York City, and I hope they homeschool their children.
Oh, Nancy, thank you for sharing that.
Say if everyone just relaxes, or I guess maybe it's just a mindset about how you perceive
right.
education.
Nancy, thank you. And Bill, that's just sort of reiterating a lot of what you've been saying here. Every child's a little bit different. You know, the curriculum's up to you, you know, kind of choosing their interests. I want to get this in before we run out of time. The new Secretary of Education in the Trump administration is a vocal supporter of school choice, which can include the use of vouchers. How would vouchers work? Could this benefit homeschooling families?
Well, that's going to be one of the very interesting questions coming up, because I think most people from outside the homeschool community would say, oh, gee, you know, homeschoolers are going, this is going to be great. There's going to be millions of homeschoolers. Everybody's going to take the money and run. Ironically, the homeschoolers on both the conservative and liberal sides are not very interested in taking the money from on vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to bring all sorts of rules and regulations. And as you've heard so far from the different people who have explained, it's the freedom to do, you know, build your own curriculum and head in your own directions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be one of the big points of contention, I think, in the coming months and years.
Yeah.
There are people who, someone you mentioned that just recently, that they, you know, started homeschooling because they ran out of money to go to the other schools. So there are people and family situations where, you know, they may need the money, and those trade-offs may be fine for their families.
Mm-hmm.
There may be people who have, you know, thought of homeschooling but couldn't get into it because of the finances.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably sections of people, but again, there's no typical homeschooler, so there's no typical answer to how you would deal with the voucher situation.
Right. And there's finally, we have less than a minute left. For parents who are thinking about this, thinking maybe I might like to try this, what advice do you give them?
Well, we would suggest, first of all, to all the people who contact us, is to at least take a look at our website, MHLA, MassHomeLearningAssociation.org. And we've got a getting started page and plenty of information about how to homeschool here in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has links to regional groups and other, and like I said, a discussion group where you can ask any questions that you want.
All right. And we will have a link to your website at our website, capeandislands.org. And again, a mention for folks who want to know about getting the most out of a public education. We'll talk about that on Thursday. Bill Hewer, director of the Massachusetts Home Learners Association. Bill, thanks for being with us this
morning. Thank
you, Mindy. Yep. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.